Welcome to Managing Your Money with Mona Marcabelli, your weekly look at money, finances, and how it impacts you. We look at the tools and methodologies that will help you be prepared for the unexpected challenges of life. Keep in mind that these topics are not designed to be a substitute for personal professional advice. You should always seek the appropriate advice pertaining to your specific needs and circumstances. And now, here's Mona.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show. Our discussion today revolves around a subject that you may have heard about quite a bit over the years and will continue to hear about it in years to come. News about the latest hacks at some big technology company or traditional corporation like Equifax continue to grab headlines. Yes, cybersecurity has become increasingly a problem. To help you learn how to protect your home computer from hacks, our guest today is Dominic Koenig. And before we begin, here's a little bit about Dominic. Dominic Koenig is the president of Webb's Depot Technology Partners, an IT firm based in Markham. Dominic has established his firm 16 years ago, where his role is to pursue a fine balance between an entrepreneurial spirit and corporate standardization in the ever-changing IT industry. Over this time, Dominic has successfully evolved the company from an online reseller to a niche outsourcing service provider to now an integrator that builds intelligent web apps on secure private clouds that equally serve local businesses and large international clients. Dominic belongs to key technology associations and is active in a number of charitable endeavors, including 100 Men Who Care Uxbridge, and is the current vice chair of the board of directors at the Stouffville Chamber of Commerce. Dominic hopes to help Stouffville navigate this digital economy so that the local business community can compete on an equal footing with a personal goal of more families being able to live and work in the community. Hello, Dominic, and thank you for joining us today at the Whistle FM studios.
My pleasure, Mona. Thank you for having me.
So cybersecurity is becoming more and more of a concern to people as more hacks are happening on a daily basis. How can the consumer protect their home computer, and what are the consequences if they are not securely protected from hacks?
So you're right, Mona. Cybersecurity is a word every person has probably heard a lot over the last year and will continue to hear even more over 2019 as the news about the latest hacks at some big technology company or traditional corporation like Equifax continue to grab headlines. Most really don't understand the consequences of the hacks, and in truth, most don't care if it's really not related to their banking or their work or business life. And then that's really the most scary part for me as an IT professional who participates in so many discussions around cybersecurity, that really the target in all these cases of big corporations, it's really not the corporations, it's the consumer, it's you.
So to start right from the basics, what is cybersecurity for the home user or consumer care?
So, you know, being a geek, I did the OK Google, you know, what is cybersecurity? And really the plain definition is the state of being protected against a criminal or unauthorized use of electronic data or the measures taken to achieve this.
Do you want to expand on that? Like, this is a definition. Do you want to talk in layman terms about it?
Sure. You know, let me just maybe talk about it in terms of how it applies to sort of the average person that's not running a business and why you should care. Cybersecurity in your home and on every device is something that you should take very seriously and really demand that from every company or organization that you interact with. I mean, one of the issues that I have and the challenges that, you know, to get to people who care is that they just think it can never impact them, but it certainly can. For me, you know, I always want to make sure that any sort of personal health data is kept confidential, and certainly all my financial details. So if you care about that like I do, you should care about cybersecurity even in the home. Identity theft is very prominent now. That is a big part of cybersecurity. And that is something that certainly everyone should care about because it is the biggest sort of reason behind why there are cyber attacks and people at home being impacted. Another one for me, and that's, again, a bit of a personal one. I have young children at home, is sort of safety of your children, and cybersecurity ties into that as well. The internet has, you know, made the world a much smaller place, and the reward really especially for sort of cyber criminals, is your data. And it's a financial reward. But when it comes to, you know, children, there's other aspects that you have to worry about that isn't, you know, just financial related. So again, cybersecurity is something that should be top of mind. It isn't just about big companies. It really is about you, your life, and sort of the data that's on your equipment. I like to sort of relate it to why it's so tempting and so easy and so prevalent. You know, years ago, we used to know that there's a Brinks truck, it's driving by, it has a scheduled route, and someone would hire some violent criminals to rob a Brinks truck. I mean, to put it now in layman's terms, you literally on the internet have these little Brinks trucks of your data traveling nonstop on the information highway, and someone from across the world can get hired to sit there all day and try to break into them, and they're constantly driving on the road. So think about the sort of exposure and how prevalent the access to that data can be now with something as easy as a password being guessed.
How do they guess the password? Do they have like a computer-generated numbers or generated passwords? How do they break into, for example, a financial institution like a bank or data as a consumer?
So that's a really good question, Mona. With financial institutions, you know, they take a number of measures to help us log in correctly and securely. But ultimately, it does come down to, you know, how complex of a password that we end up using. And a lot of us still make those traditional sort of mistakes of using something that's not very complex. Let me just start around some sort of advice for just general daily usage of logging in and accessing things like your banking, whatever it may be online. Because this is, I see this failure all the time in business and at home. You know, it's that almighty password that fails us. And I say that with a smile on my face because really for years, people would use the word God as a password. Even very seasoned IT administrators in the early days. Absolutely. I mean, it would be just mind-boggling, but that's what they would use as a password. So what I always recommend is choose one that is, you know, difficult to guess, that is quite complex, and yes, it'll make it more difficult for you to remember, but start there at least as sort of step one to help your financial institution who can only do so much on their end. You're part of that whole combination of security, so you have to do your part. Choose a complex password.
Well, you know, there is something about internet banking. For example, when I do my internet banking, they ask you for the number of your debit card.
Right.
And for your password.
Right.
And there is a box down there, remember me. I used to put it remember me because I didn't want to go to the trouble of putting all the information all over again
Right. Each
time because you do it on an ongoing basis. Do you find... The thing about it is that when I do that, I get another confirmation from the bank saying, where can we text you a code? And this is why I feel maybe it is safe to keep my information remembered because they send me a code to my BlackBerry, which is in my possession. Nobody else has it. Do you feel that, am I right in this or I should be more careful?
So the remember me feature that you're talking about, and that depends if you're doing that on your computer or your tablet, wherever that option comes up. In some sense, it's harmless. I mean, it really only becomes maybe a bit of a security an issue. And, you know, I don't ever check it. I'm diligent and always retyping my complex passwords and I change them quite often. But it only becomes an issue if someone gains access to your computer or device. So that way, for them to log in, it's a little easier. And you're right, banks do send out those confirmation codes now via text. The challenge that I have with that is let's just say, more skilled hackers, and if you're truly being targeted, they have the ability to intercept that text now. So it is...
How do they do that?
So
how do they know?
It depends on, again, if you're targeted, a lot of it could be just sheer, you know, luck because they have automated tools that go out there and get installed on phones. So that's one of my points about passwords, and maybe I can kind of circle back to the whole sort of dealing with passwords because that really is a challenge for every home user now. Again, make them complex is my advice, 12 characters or more. Use uppercase, use special symbols, all those wonderful things because things such as brute force attacks still exist and that is something that sits there literally all day, tries to log in as you into an account that you have. So companies have learned to block after 3 attempts, but some still haven't. So make it difficult. Don't post information related to your password on your Facebook. So the security questions you get asked all the time. Those three security questions: what town was I born in? Try not to put information like that in
Twitter.
What's
your maiden? What's your mom's maiden name?
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, less is more in terms of on social media, in some respect to that information. But in terms of intercepting that password, again, getting back to that code. So on a phone, we install a ton of apps. And probably 90% of them are fine. But the odd one that we find helpful we install has some malicious content that allows someone to access your phone, read or intercept that text. So again, you think you're safe because you're getting a text, you're confirming that text into your computer or tablet browser to log in, but someone else has that as well. And what they do is, you know, and that's the challenge for me, Gmail has been the most prevalently hacked and accessed email service out there. It wasn't Yahoo. Yahoo was hacked years ago, but it's Gmail. And the challenge now is that someone will sit there, have access to your Gmail, and not let you know they have access to it. Mm-hmm. While you're sleeping, they can go in and request from your bank a password reset link. That link arrives in your Gmail account middle of the night. They have it. And then you're like, oh, okay, but you know that they still have to get my text message for that confirmation code to log in. Well, they have something now on your phone as well. Middle of the night, you get a text. You don't check your phone when you're sleeping. They see that as well. Can even delete that text from your phone so you don't know you even received it. And they're logging into your financial accounts, doing e-transfers, and then come the morning when you look at your balance, maybe you'll notice something, maybe you won't. Depends on what they're doing. They're very sneaky now. Again, this doesn't happen often, but it's been already shown to happen multiple times, and it's usually a very targeted attack. The other thing, too, is, you know, people say, well, so they got in my Gmail, who cares? I store a lot of information in my email, a lot of personal information.
I do, too, yeah.
Right? So one of the things that we're seeing a lot is you'll get an odd email, and it looks like it's from your friend. And it's your friend asking you for some information or follow this link. Well, how do they know that you have a friend named Joe, for example, right? It's because they're sitting there reading your email. When they read your email, they learn stuff about you and they go, okay, if I contact Joe and pretend to be Mona, chances are Joe will react and respond if it actually says Mona instead of it says someone else's name that he doesn't know. So again, something to keep in mind. So for something as simple as Gmail, keep that secure. And again, complex password is my best advice. Change it often. The other one that you know I want to bring up, and again, we see this all the time, people create a complex password and they use it for online banking, but then all of a sudden they get a little bit lazy and then use it for their Gmail as well. They start using the same password everywhere. So when a company's compromised, and this big Yahoo story that came out that, you know, millions and millions of accounts were compromised, what the compromise meant there was someone took the whole list of usernames and passwords, dumped it into a text file, and put it on what they call the dark web. And the dark web is nothing scary, fearful. You can Google how to get to it. There's special browsers for it. But it literally sits there. A lazy hacker can pick up that information and now go, well, if that username and password worked for Yahoo, chances are it might work for Mona's Gmail. Chances are it might work for Mona's Facebook. Chances are, so that's what they do. They automatically take that username and password combination and start applying to all those different accounts. So if you're a smart home user and you don't use the same password, or even in some cases the same username, you're safe. So just because they got your Yahoo information or whatever other service that's compromised, like a LinkedIn was a big one compromised a little while ago. Adobe was another one that was compromised. You're okay. So big tip, please definitely use different passwords for all your services online.
That's good to know, because sometimes you think that nobody would guess your Facebook password if you use it again for LinkedIn, or it's good to know that if they can get the list somewhere, they can use it as a lazy hacker.
Right.
They can use it on so many platforms.
Yes.
Chances are some people use the same password on different multiple platforms.
Everyone does. I've done it. I have to admit
it's easier to remember.
It's very easy. Well, there's services that you don't even think about, right? And we install so much on our phones, too, that require username and password these days, right? You have your apps. I have my local pizza guy app. I have my Starbucks app. I have my points card app. You know, you keep adding up all these little apps, and everyone requires a username and password. So over time, we get overwhelmed. And out of, I don't know if it's laziness or human nature, we will use the same password. Now, I have a sort of category system that I use. If I call it a Mickey Mouse service I don't care about, like my pizza app and my Starbucks app, if I don't really link them to anything financial, I don't really worry about them having different passwords as much. But very critical services, online banking, government services, you know, anything work-related, very different passwords. If possible, I use what's called two-factor authentication. That's the example that you gave with that text coming out from your bank. That's two-factor authentication. That's great. If a service has that capability, even your Microsoft account or something, use it. That actually makes it more difficult. It's one of those things that people just don't think about. They do it. But change your passwords often, make them complex, is the best advice I can give anyone today. Now, again, if you're being overwhelmed, and I am, I have a product that I purchased, I pay for the service called LastPass, and that helps me kind of track all my passwords securely. So I will put a lot of those passwords in there and track that in that service. Some people don't need that. I do.
How secure is that service?
It's very
secure.
What if it gets hacked? Exactly. That's the first thought that everyone has. So there's multiple iterations of it, but it is very secure the way I have it implemented, but it's very complex. I have a little security key even that physically, if someone doesn't have that, they can't log in as me and use any of that. That's going above and beyond, but I'm a geek, so I do those things.
So people who are not
they go multi-factor authentication for that. So beyond the text, they will find another means to contact you again if someone is, you know, forgot the password to log into that. It is a very secure service, but again, I only recommend it if you have a lot of passwords to deal with and truly can't recall all of them. There's also versions of that exist just on your computer, so it doesn't have to be in the cloud if you feel worried about having all your passwords there. It does sit in the cloud encrypted. They can't even tell you what the password is. So if you forget your old security keys, they have a very long key that they provide you when you set up that account. It's 35 characters or more. If you don't have that, there is no way for you to recover your passwords. So they take that very seriously too. And again, it is something that I do recommend to someone who's struggling with remembering, you know, long, complex passwords.
What is the name of that program?
It's called LastPass.
LastPass,
as in password.
LastPass.
And there's a lot of them out there. I think KeePass is another one that's out there. You can Google it, you know, password managers for home use, and you'll find some interesting suggestions. Again, my best advice is limit how many apps you have, limit how many things you sign up for. Times when someone is really paranoid about being targeted, there are folks who set up what are known as sort of fake alias email addresses as well. I did that years ago before I had LastPass, where I would have a dummy email address and I would use that for my Starbucks app and my Pizzaville app and all these apps that I used. And I would only use my real personal email address for online banking. So when I did online purchases and things of that nature, it was never via my real true email account. So again, I kind of separated even in my own personal world different categories.
So what do you mean by dumb email address?
It's a secondary email address that isn't associated, like that your bank would use, for example.
But you would receive the information
on
it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's like you have a Gmail, set up another Gmail account that you use just for, let's say, questionable places or questionable apps, or, you know, that odd purchase you do from a vendor.
Could happen more often than not.
Absolutely. Or one that you don't keep an eye on as much. So, you know, how often do you maybe log into a certain service online? And if not one that you really use day-to-day basis, use that dummy sort of very low-level email address, I like to call it, for that kind of stuff that isn't associated with anything ever financial for you. Mm-hmm. And then truly, you know, your main email address that you have, you associate that with your banking account and your government online, like Service Ontario accounts and things of that nature.
Well, what if you are self-employed and you have clients? Like, I am self-employed, I have clients, and I sent my email, my regular email, to all sorts of people that I deal with, like my clients. And they send me back, and I have a file, like a digital file, on my computer. Plus, I have a digital file in my email of all the correspondences that happen.
Right.
So what if I get hacked? Like, how can I protect myself in the sense I cannot give them just any dummy email? I have to give them my real email.
Correct.
Because it's on my card as well.
Yes.
So how can I protect myself? If you are self-employed, how do you protect yourself?
Well, again, you know, the one that you use for your self-employed activities should be one email address, and then the personal one that you have, for example, you know, I shouldn't be able to take right now your email address, Mona, and go, hey, I think that's the username for your CIBC account, right? As a very initial kind of start is... Even the email address that we use, we have to get away from what people have used in work. It's always the first initial last name. It's an easy one to guess. And when the email address is actually the user account, kind of makes it easier to guess the username is. Imagine how difficult it is to log in when you don't know what the username is and you don't know what the password is. I probably already know the username to a few of your social media services, whatever it is, because I have your email address, right? So again, you should have an email address that you operate for, you know, let's say more work-related correspondence, and then have a personal email address that you truly just associate for banking, whatever else it may be.
Well, there is an app on my BlackBerry to kind of store passwords in it.
Okay.
Do you recommend that app? I mean, it's an app that I downloaded from the internet that works for BlackBerries, that usually you can put your passwords in it in order to store them because you cannot remember every password you wrote. Do you feel that these are hackable?
So it depends on who created it and what that app is. So, I mean, since you're using a BlackBerry, they were one of the most secure devices out there. So if it's an application that they wrote, then you're okay. If it's not an application that they wrote and you just randomly picked one and installed it, then I would kind of check and have to figure out who the source of that application is. Mm-hmm. Again, I named only a few applications before that help you manage your passwords. There are many more out there, but you have to do your research because, again, one of them could also be posing as a service.
But it's a hack.
But it's really, it's a company or a compromised company, that's right, that's correcting that information. So you really have to be
very careful.
Careful, a bit paranoid, and you have to kind of instill that in kids these days, too, that are very trusting of putting their information online. You know, when they use a device, they don't think twice about things going to the cloud. I'm still very old school in some sense for that sort of information. I always question who's storing it, who created it, where is it going?
And well, because you are in the business, so you know what to ask, you know what to look for. But the average Joe like me will not know. What would not even have a concept of all you said to us today.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, the good news is, because of, I guess, of all this news and information that's coming out, people are finally starting to realize that, you know, they may be targets and are going to start taking it more seriously. Again, a very good start for the home user is all those passwords advice I gave you. Second, at home, make sure you update your, you know, your Windows computer, your Mac computer, wherever it may be. We all have very fast internet at home now. The Bell Tech comes in, leaves some equipment, gives us a password. Again, I advise you, please put in your own equipment behind the Bell or Rogers equipment. Do a very advanced Wi-Fi password. I have people in my office who can sit in front of your house and within an hour, if it's not set up right, have access to your home network over Wi-Fi. So, you know, really do take the time to sort of think and sit down at home and go, what is connected in my house to the internet? Have I updated it? And try to separate certainly work and home things as much as you can. And in my case, what I do is I separate anything that my 10-year-old has access to from my work stuff or even my computer that I use for banking. Because kids in two, three minutes can install so much and they don't sit there and go, is it malicious, not malicious? That can gain a lot of access into your data as well.
Well, thank you, Dominic. You really gave us a lot of ideas and you put some fear into our listeners, most probably. And this is a good thing, actually, because such fear will help us maybe avoid hacks in the future. Thank you for coming and joining us today, Dominic.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll have you again because this seems to be a very important topic and it's a very now kind of topic. Well, friends, here we come to the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. 102.9 Whistle FM.
You've been listening to Managing Your Money with Mona Marcavelli. Keep in mind that these topics are not designed to be a substitute for personal professional advice. You should always seek the appropriate advice pertaining to your specific needs and circumstances. Mona will be back next week with more tips and insights on how to better manage your money. If you'd like to get a hold of Mona, drop her an email at mona@whistlefm.com. We'll see you next time.